our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. I wonder if this ever happened to you. You plan a vacation, and you are really looking forward to going on it, and then something so extremely urgent happens that you must postpone the vacation because of that emergency. This has not happened to me, and usually the emergency that I have heard of from other people, which they had to postpone their vacation, is the death of a family member. Whenever I go on vacation as a pastor, you hope nothing dramatic happens. It's not like I can say to you all, please, while I'm gone, don't go into the hospital. Not within our scope of our authority. And so, as I do at many other points, I entrust you into the hands of God for his safekeeping. Just before our gospel begins this morning, we didn't hear these words, but right before the beginning of where we started in Mark 6, 31 and 32, we hear these words. Jesus said, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while." Mark goes on to say, "For there were many people coming and going that they did not even have time to eat. They went away into the boat to a secluded place by themselves." All right, Jesus and the disciples are about to have what we call R&R, rest and relaxation. With that in the background, we hear the beginning of our gospel passage. The people saw them going, and many recognized them and ran there together on foot from all the cities and got there ahead of them. So the disciples are expecting rest and relaxation. Can't you imagine Peter, James, and John in the boat as they're about to reach the shore of where they're going, and they see this huge crowd and their hearts just sink? Oh, really? Some rest and relaxation we're about to have? Because they kind of knew instinctively that Jesus was not going to tell the crowds to scatter, get lost. We have some vacation time coming. Go away. We need some rest. No, they kind of knew, I think, in their hearts, Jesus was not going to take rest and relaxation. He was going to keep working. And though the disciples felt this disappointment, fatigue, and frustration, they knew what was going to happen. They were going to get back to work. This brings me to my first point, which is that Jesus feeds the multitudes first with his teaching. Our text says in Mark 6:34, "Our Lord saw the large crowd of people and felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd." Ancient Israel, abandoned by unfaithful leaders, was described in these same words by Ezekiel in his prophecy, chapter 34. "I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. I will feed them with good pasture." The eternal God realizes that human leaders fail us. Whether you're talking about church leaders or political leaders or the leaders of your family, we fail one another. And so God himself will be our shepherd. You'll notice from the Old Testament reading, God could not find one who would intercede for his people. So God himself puts on the garments of salvation for us. If we were to depend on one another to be faithful, don't hold your breath. God himself will come and bring salvation and shepherd his people. And so the Lord Jesus acts as the good shepherd and fulfills the promise of Ezekiel 34, as God himself in the person of Jesus Christ demonstrates that he is the good shepherd. He loves his sheep, cares for them, provides for them, and feeds them first by his teaching. He teaches them many things. And so before Jesus performs a miracle for these lost sheep, he teaches them because he knows that they are in need of spiritual direction. This predominating figure of us in Holy Scripture is that we are sheep. We cannot defend ourselves. We're not even intelligent enough to figure out where the green pastures are. It's not a flattering picture. One thing that shepherds who do it for a living will tell you, sheep are stupid. And that's the predominating picture about us. So I'm not talking about IQ, I'm talking about spiritual wisdom. We don't get it. All we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. By teaching them, he is showing the priority of the needs of our souls even before the needs of our bodies. This is not to say the needs of our bodies are unimportant, because human beings are both a composite of body and soul. But the Lord Jesus feels compassion for the multitudes because we are wandering and lost sheep. And what he does for us first is teach us. The sheep need spiritual direction. They need a word from God. And the Lord Jesus, the incarnate word, the one who is truly God and truly man, teaches the people. We might ask ourselves, well, what did he teach them? If we only had the Gospel of Mark, we would not know precisely what the Lord taught them on this occasion, but we have three other Gospels. And all three of the other Gospels, in other words, all four Gospels, mention this very narrative about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Luke 9:11 says in this regard, within this same incident, that Jesus spoke to them about the kingdom of God. I will say more about the teaching that Jesus gave on this, if not this day, the day after, in just a bit. Suffice to say that the Lord Jesus saw that the people were sheep in need of teaching regarding the kingdom of God. In Christ's teaching about the kingdom of God, he was focusing on himself as the one sent by the Father to usher in God's kingdom. Jesus said that the kingdom of God has come into your midst at the beginning of his ministry. And I believe the primary meaning of God's kingdom being in their midst is that the King, the Messiah, was in their midst, the King of God's kingdom. And so Jesus, as both Son of God and anointed King and Messiah, is fulfilling the words of the prophets. In the words, for instance, of Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. God supplies our needs spiritually, and God nourishes our souls with his written word, the Scriptures. God has provided for us through the person and work of his Son, but with the word of the Lord, there comes the necessity for us to obediently hear and listen to God's word and the word of his kingdom and gospel. And so we must mix our hearing of God's promises with faith and trust in God's promises. Hebrews 4:2 reminds us of this. For indeed, we have the good news preached to us just as they also. But the word of God did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. The author of Hebrews is really giving us a warning about the children of Israel, who saw plenty of miracles and who heard the Ten Commandments. And yet, that generation did not mix faith with the things they saw and the things they heard. And so it was not profitable for them. The author of Hebrews is applying this same word to us, that those who hear the good news of Christ, but like the unfaithful Israelites, do not trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, have not profited from what they have heard. So we need to take nourishment from Christ's teaching by hearing Christ's message and by believing and faithfully following the word of the Lord. So Christ feeds the multitude with his teaching. Second, Jesus Christ feeds the multitude with this miraculous provision. in which he fully feeds the 5,000 with five loaves and two fish. This incident, as I've already said, is covered in all four Gospels. In John 6, after the Lord Jesus fed the 5,000, on that next day, the people who were with Jesus had the audacity to ask Jesus this question, as it's recorded in John 6, 30 and 31. So they said to him, What do you do for a sign so that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread out of heaven to eat. I said they had a lot of nerve asking this question. They were asking for a sign. What did they just see, for crying out loud? 5,000 fed with two fish and five loaves of bread, and they want to see more miracles. I think what they're really asking for is revealed in John 6:34, which says, then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. I think what they're really saying is, Jesus, duplicate what you did for our fathers. They got bread every day. We want you to do the same. Wow. Jesus is teaching and implying in his answer to that specific request, no, I'm not doing that. He fed the 5,000 once. He fed the 4,000 once. Other than that, he didn't feed them. You get yourself lunch and supper. This is not going to be a duplication of what happened in the 40-year wilderness wanderings in which the children of Israel got manna every day. The purpose of this miracle was to give the people a snapshot at a point in time to show them that he was king, that he was God, and he would provide for them. That miracle was to demonstrate that. But it was not, the whole point of the miracle was not just to feed them. It was to feed them for a time, but that was it. And if God is king, we have to take our cues from him. Not blaze our own way and tell Jesus what to do, but to follow his way. He is the one, he is the source.